There's a word called overwhelmed that's kind of new, because up to about 6 or 7 years ago, I hardly ever heard anyone say, I feel overwhelmed. But it's a word that is kicking in more and more and more. It used to be that overwhelmed was something neutral, like you're overwhelmed with all the choices. Or you're overwhelmed because you're in love with someone. I'll try that again. You're overwhelmed because you're in love with someone. But usually today, to be overwhelmed is a kind of a negative word. And in the English language, to be overwhelmed means you're really under pressure and stress. And I want to look at somebody in the Bible who was overwhelmed by circumstances like you feel sometimes and I feel sometimes. But how he handled it is really important for us today. So I'm going to pray. And I ask you, God, your word would instruct us, would help us, and would be alive in our lives. And keep the devil away from our heads and our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
And with a bit more enthusiasm, God's people say,
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20. This is part one. In a few weeks' time, I'll look at this again and look at the rest of it. Usually if you ask someone, who was a great king in the Bible, in the Old Testament, people will say King David. He loved God. He had a heart after God's heart. He did great things, but he also had some great sins. But when you look at another guy in the Bible, he may not have been as charismatic as David. He wouldn't have had the good looks. David would play his guitar, or the lyre they called it, and all the girls would be after him. This guy was a lot quieter, but in my opinion, he is one of the unsung heroes of the Bible that most people don't know about. His name was King Jehoshaphat. Who can say Jehoshaphat?
Jehoshaphat.
Very good. He was godly. He was a good leader. He was a great leader. He was faithful to God and to his people. This man was kind, and this man was just. It was hard to find a guy as good as him. And in the Bible, we read this about this good believer. He loved God, maybe like you do today. And we read, it was suddenly reported to King Jehoshaphat, a vast army is attacking you. A huge army is attacking you, and it's attacking you suddenly. So the messenger came with this word, and it's personal because he's the leader and they're attacking him, but they're attacking the whole community as well. So when we read the word suddenly, we know this is an unexpected crisis. They didn't think this would happen. They had no foreknowledge. They couldn't prepare for it. It was out of the blue. Isn't life like that? What do you think?
Yes.
Sometimes trouble comes knocking at your door, and you never expect it. Some people call this the black swan. Most swans are white, some swans are black. The black swan means it came out of nowhere, no one expected it, and it really is shocking everyone. But the messenger continues his conversation in verse 2, and he said, this vast army of Moabites, Ammonites, Mennonites, Edomites, even those from beyond the sea. So these guys are all the tribes, the nations around the kingdom of Judah, and they all got together. And not only did they get together, an enemy who almost never showed up shows up and joins them. So what Jehoshaphat and the people of God are facing is a coalition of enemies. I can remember a number of years ago, a very silly example, my car broke down, my washing machine stopped, and the central heating broke down, all within 2 days of each other. And then I broke down as well after that. Sometimes trouble comes with all his cousins, doesn't it? But this is very deadly because all of the enemies have joined together to attack this one little nation. It's a bit like if you're at work and all your workmates are against you. You're in school and all the teachers and pupils turn against you. You're in your family and the whole family turns against you. You live on your street or your apartment block and all your neighbours join together and turn against you. It was a coalition of enemies. Sometimes in our lives, it's a bit like you get a sudden medical diagnosis. That's not good. You have financial collapse, family crisis, and you have a breakdown. Maybe you're emotionally exhausted. And all the trouble comes to your front door. And it doesn't really knock. They kick the door in and they all come in. And so there's you, or there's me, with so much trouble. What on earth is happening? Now remember, the guy it's happening to is a good man. He has a strong faith in the Lord. He's living a good life. He loves God and he loves his neighbor as himself. Why is this happening? Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have trouble. The people of faith are not exempt. We don't escape trouble. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is polluted. Our bodies are not perfect. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
So people of faith sometimes have trouble. Now, it's very important to make this point. Generally, the people of faith, Christians, we avoid a lot of trouble because we follow God's ways. The Bible says, follow the ways of the Lord, that it will go well for you. So, we don't lie. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, people will trust us more. We'll probably get on in work or as neighbors or in a family situation because people know we're honest. We're not going to sleep around. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
So we're not going to pick up sexually transmitted diseases or infections like a lot of people do, by the grace of God. We're not going to abuse drugs or alcohol. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, we're not going to have all the trouble that goes with that. We're not going to get into gambling.
Amen.
So we're not going to lose our money. There are empirical studies all over the world done by many universities where when faith comes into a family and into a village and into a community, if you look at that family by the next generation, they are financially better off, they're living longer, they have happier lives. Why? Because we're walking in God's ways. So we escape from a lot of trouble, but it doesn't mean we won't have all trouble. We don't escape from everything. Sometimes trouble comes knocking at our door, and it's serious. So how did our hero of faith in the Bible react? What was the first thing that happened to him? What's the first thing that happened to you? The very first thing. Because this is me. Jehoshaphat was afraid. First thing. The man of faith, the great pillar in his nation that everyone was looking to as an example. And the first thing, he feels fear. And you might say, what a waster. He has let the faith down. No, he did not. It's very important to realize, fear is not a sin in and of itself.
Yes.
Jesus would have felt fear. What is the sin? It's what we do with fear. That can be a sin. So you and I are going to feel afraid if we get a bad medical diagnosis or we run out of money or our relationship is in terrible trouble. We're going to feel fear. But people who don't have faith, not all but many, will then go further and they'll entertain the fear. And the fear becomes a master in their heads. And the fear and the anxiety takes over their hearts and their emotions. What did Jehoshaphat do? He felt fear, but he didn't allow it take him over. Because we're told Jehoshaphat set his face to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. We have proclaimed a week of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow for our white community. And we're inviting you to join in. Why? Because Jesus never said, if you fast. He said, when you fast. It is imperative, it is part of anyone who has a real faith in Jesus Christ that sometimes, we do 1 week every year, we will do without some food or do without social media or whatever. Jehoshaphat set his face to seek the Lord. What does that mean? He prayed. He prayed and he prayed. And to seek the Lord is to try and touch God, try and sense God. I don't know about you, but I have many times, thank you, Lord, I have gone on my knees and I have prayed. And somehow, he's in the room. Somehow, peace comes over me. I know he's there. Sometimes, and you might think I'm crazy, I don't care. Sometimes I hear his voice whisper to me, hang in there, I've got your back, I've got your back. And so he proclaimed a fast. And so it's not just him on his own, he has a whole community who are joining with him, and rightly so, because their futures are at stake. Here's the big learning. For Jehoshaphat, his faith immediately kicks in. It comes in immediately. Why is that? Well, if you look at a guy who goes out and digs the earth with a shovel every day, if he goes out tomorrow, Monday morning, and starts digging the field, he knows exactly what to do. He's not going to have sore muscles. He's not going to be exhausted because he has exercised those muscles all along. But a guy who never does it, who maybe has a desk job, he goes out and he digs the garden. He's exhausted. His arms are aching. His legs are nearly collapsed because he has no muscle memory. Jehoshaphat had spiritual muscle memory. All of his life, when trouble came at his door, the first thing he did was he prayed.
Amen.
What will we do when trouble comes on our door? What will we do? Let's build up muscle memory in our lives. Spiritual muscle memory. Where when trouble comes, and it will, comes to everyone, we will immediately kick into prayer. Here's the truth. Faith chases away fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your faith kicking in when you have trouble will kick and chase away the fear. You see, this is my experience of nearly 46 years as a Christian, 30 years as a pastor, that fear will push us to one of three places: paralysis, prayer, or panic. A lot of quiet people who might be a bit more introverted, they will become paralyzed. Just can't make decisions, can't move. All the trouble is overwhelmed you. Other people who might be more expressive will go into a panic. Wah! You lash out and hurt the people around you. You run around like a crazy person, not knowing what to do. You go into a panic. Jehoshaphat went into prayer. He handed it over to God. So we have a choice. You have a choice the week ahead. If trouble comes to you, are you going to be paralyzed?
No.
No.
Hallelujah. Who says no?
No.
Okay, about 8 people said no. Who says no?
No.
Are we going to panic?
No.
I can't hear anyone down the back.
No.
Hallelujah. Choose prayer. Choose prayer. How did they pray? I love how they express it in this account from the Old Testament. This is how Jehoshaphat prayed. Lord, we are powerless against this great enemy attack against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Now you're setting yourself up for victory. Now you're setting yourself up for God to move and do a miracle in your life. And oh my goodness, is he a miracle working God. I have seen it again and again over the decades. Here in Cork, not just in other countries here. Hallelujah. He's a God of miracles. He heals the sick. Hallelujah. We are powerless. You see, God is watching and listening. And as soon as he sees and hears you or me saying, I am powerless, then God can move. Now, if you're a control freak, you're probably going, no, I need to be in control. Slaughter your control freakery. I know, because I'm a control freak in my natural nature. And you know what? God had to break that in me many decades ago. Allow God to break it in you. Because when we want to control, we're saying, I don't need you, God. I am the master of my own destiny. No, you're not. You never were. You never will be. Trust God. Have faith in him. Let your eyes be on him. So, brothers and sisters, when you don't know what to do, fix your eyes on the one who does.
Man.
That is the key, spiritually, between someone who's only messing with faith and someone who is successful in their faith. We have the choice of being overcomers, of seeing victory in our lives, but it depends on how much we surrender to the one who is above us. And then we are told the whole community stood together praying before the Lord, men, women, children, and the Spirit then came upon the prophet Jahaziel. I love the fact that it's the whole community. We invite our whole community here at Grace Church Cork to join us as we pray throughout the week. And then next Sunday, with all the various interactive stations we're going to set up throughout the building, to make your prayers real and to remember and to build memories and experiences in your life as you bring your prayers before the Lord. You will stand with our whole community. The Bible says the men, the women, and the little ones all stood before the Lord. Do not think your children are exempt from prayer. Amen. Encourage your kids to pray.
Amen.
Okay. There are four families left in Cork and the children pray. Bring your kids into the prayer. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Those children prayed. Of course they did. That life and death was facing them. And you know, in that society and culture, men and women were separated as they worshipped. Do you know all that old stuff? That was gone.
Yes.
That was gone. The men and women stood together. And we're called to stand together today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the children stood with them. And they all prayed together. And then, because where the brethren or the Christians, the believers, dwell in unity, there the Lord commands a blessing.
Amen.
That's what the psalmist says. That's the promise in the Bible. When we are unified together, God will command a blessing. He will speak to the demons. And he will say, I pray a blessing over those people, and no power of hell will stand against it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so the Holy Spirit came upon the prophet Jahaziel. Why didn't he come upon him on his own? Lord, I'm having a lovely little time on my own here. Oh, sure, isn't this lovely? Now, just me and you, Lord. No one around. Now, there's a place for that. But the Holy Spirit fell on him in the midst of the congregation. And when God's Holy Spirit falls, and it's like a golden thread in the tapestry of the Bible from beginning to end, when the people of God gather together in unity, in prayer, with humility, looking to the Lord, the golden thread that God has woven in that tapestry is that the Holy Spirit falls on people. Who here has ever felt the Holy Spirit fall on them? Hallelujah. If you haven't, it's an experience God wants you to have.
Amen.
It's not just pastors, it's all who follow the Lord, who believe in him. And so the Holy Spirit fell upon him. The big thing is, you are not alone. We're about to start a whole week of prayer and fasting tomorrow. It's important we do it as community, as we pray for our lives, for our friends, for our family, for our city that we're living in. But I'm praying for you. And you're praying for me.
Yes.
And we say, God, we bring our brothers and sisters before you. All those of us in our community. Meet the needs. Heal the sick.
Yes.
Heal the brokenhearted. Touch the minds that are disturbed. Heal relationships. Turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children towards the fathers, and on it goes. You are not alone. And then Jehaziel prophesied, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed at this great horde of an enemy. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Anyone remember that one? No weapon that's fashioned against you will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord.
We'll sing
glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We'll sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle. Oh, but I love a battle, do you? Get rid of the battle. Hand it over to the one who's got the power.
Amen.
You don't have power. I beg your pardon, really. I take offense at that. I don't have power. My power comes from the Lord.
That's right, yeah.
Your power comes from the Lord.
Yes.
Once I met a pastor, and he was so proud of himself. So proud of himself. He started talking about the power he had. I got a chill in my soul. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to be in your church. Because it was all about him. But there was nothing about God. Any man or woman of God will be broken. And God will get the glory.
Hallelujah.
He breaks our pride. And it's so good for us. And so, Jehaziel the prophet prophesies, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Can I prophesy over you?
Yes.
He, she that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, let your battle go. Hand it over.
Yes.
The battle is not yours.
Amen.
You mean my work? I mean your work. You mean my marriage? I mean your marriage. You mean my health? I mean your health. You mean my money? I mean your money.
Amen.
The battle belongs to the Lord. In one way it's very simple, but in another way it's deeply profound. When I meet someone, when you meet people, and you meet Christians who have learned that secret of faith, that the battle is his, not mine, you just get this sense of peace about them. They're not fighting themselves, they've handed it over. And the whole victory, and I look at it next time I'm up, that the whole nation had. It's incredible what God did. All came down to this incident where they said, it's your battle, Lord. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. The enemy was still around, powerful, all in a coalition to destroy them. But in the spiritual realm, it was all over.
Amen.
They were all still there, but because their hearts were surrendered and they knew this battle was God's, the battle was over, really. It goes on to say they had a great victory, but really the victory is spiritual first. Amen?
Amen.
So we determined that. I love this anonymous saying. I couldn't find the writer. It says, the battle may be raging, but the lion of Judah within you roars louder than any lion that's after you.
Amen.
The lion of Judah, the Judah. That's Jesus. He's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's one of the names that Jesus was given. The Lion. Judah was the tribe that praised. And he is the Lion of Judah. The one who is within you is greater than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
Who's in the world? The enemy is in the world. Trouble, problems, battles. But if he is in you, and I hope he's in everyone, we're going to pray about that, then he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. So I have two prayers today. Some of us need to pray. God, help me to build up that muscle, the faith muscle so that I have muscle memory spiritually. You're going into potentially, if you choose to join in, a week of prayer and fasting. You can build that muscle up. We're going to pray about that. And then how we need to overcome our fear with faith. We did it at the last service. There was loads of people. We said, let's bring our fear to the altar. Let's make an altar here, as it were, figuratively, and slaughter our fear. Let's walk out the door knowing that we, in God's presence, said, God, I am not bringing fear with me into the week ahead. I'm going to look to you, and let's slaughter the fear here. Could the band come up, and could we stand before the Lord, brothers, sisters, young, old, Irish, international, male, female, let's stand before God. We're going to sing a song, and the song is the prayer of St. Patrick. We're also nearly coming to the St. Patrick's Festival. Is it 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time? And one of the beautiful modern anthems or songs for the St. Patrick celebration, written by an Irish band called the Wren Collective, is called St. Patrick's Prayer. And it's all about Christ within, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ within you and all around you. We're going to sing that, and then we're going to pray. Mark and the band, I don't know if the band are here. Some of them are here. Let's sing along. Praise God.
Christ behind me, Christ within me, all around me. You're the only armor that my soul will ever need. Jesus, you're my victory, you're my everything. Amen. Amen. Christ before me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, all around me. You're the only armor that my soul will ever need. Jesus, you're my victory, you're my everything. Amen.
Now, lads, let's make this alive. You would have learned it a few weeks ago. Christ before me. Do that. Do that with your hands. Go on. No one's going to be here. Christ behind me. Christ within me. And all around me. That's in your office tomorrow. That's in your school tomorrow. That's on your building site tomorrow. Hallelujah. That's in your family tomorrow. That's in your street tomorrow. That's in your circle of friends tomorrow. The battle is now yours, because Christ is in you. He's before you, he's behind you. Let's sing it one more time, but let's put in our heads wherever the battle is for you next week and think of how he's before you, behind you. Let's do the action. This morning, and this is strange, and you're going, I've never known a God like that. First time I went to a meeting like this, I said, people get excited about God, because I never met anyone who got excited about God. But when you know him, when he's in your bedroom and in your car and in your kitchen and he's with you in the morning and the evening, how can you not get excited about God? The one who heals you, who gives you hope and a future, who prospers you. And you're going to be indifferent. How can we be? If this is something you've never experienced, I'm going to give you the opportunity. As God is watching, as he's listening, if you have never called on the Lord and invited him into your life, or if you have drifted away and you know you need to repent and come back to him, that it may go well with you. We're going to pray. Can everyone close their eyes? On stage, off stage, let's give a bit of privacy. If you've never asked the Lord into your life, or you have drifted away and you want to come back, you have to own it, but you can own it privately. I just can see shadows. Lift up a hand so I know I'm not talking to the ceiling. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. We have 10 people who want to call on the Lord. There is a tug of war battle over your soul right now. Because the one who hates you, Satan is his name, wants to drag you away. But I declare victory over your life. And we are not going to let the evil one rob you of your inheritance. So let's close our eyes, but particularly those 10 people who put up their hands. But let's all say it in solidarity. If you could repeat the prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Forgive me my sin.
Forgive me my sin.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Give me hope.
Give me hope.
Give me a future.
Give me a future.
I turn
from my old ways.
And I look up to you.
Be my leader.
Be my savior.
Be my best
friend.
I want to follow you
all the days of my life.
Starting now.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a round of applause. If you are new here and you're new to faith, we've got free Gospels of Mark. They're really good, written in good English. It's easy to follow. And then we also have The Next Step for New Christians. Can I encourage you, pick one up at our Connect desk downstairs. Come and talk to Mike or myself if you can grab us afterwards. Don't let this be an isolated incident. Build on it. Because the devil, this coming week, probably even tonight, will try and isolate you. Make sure you build on it. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So we're going to pray for two things. We're going to pray for spiritual muscle memory. And we're also going to pray that our fear is going to be slaughtered. In the Old Testament, they brought bulls and goats into the temple. And they would slaughter the animals. But they would have the blood flow down. Because Jesus hadn't come yet and become the perfect sacrifice. If you walked into that temple, the smell of the blood, you'd see a river of it pouring down. How about we make a river of that blood today, as it were, and slaughter the fear that paralyzes you or panics you, so that you will have a calmness about you and a faith as you face trouble in the days and weeks ahead, and you will overcome it, as we'll see the nation overcame it later. So who here wants to build spiritual memory? You know you need to develop that faith muscle. Put up your hand. Who wants to develop that? Hallelujah. Can you leave where you are and walk up? Come on, you have to own it. You have to own it. Leave where you are. Walk up to the top. Praise God. Hallelujah. And those who want to say, I need to slaughter my fear. And I need to leave it at Grace Church today. And maybe you're already up here. Who wants to slaughter fear? You have to own it. Lift up your hands. Okay, if you're not up here, I'm asking you to leave your seat and come forward. Can you come forward, guys? Let's make room for the people trying to come up. Come right up to the top. Hallelujah. As people are coming up, let's sing Christ Before Me one more time.
Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, all around me. You're the only armor that my soul will ever need. Jesus, you're my victory, you're my everything. Amen. Amen.
A About over the last 2 weeks, I've been watching old rotting trees pulled up from the ground, and I could see burrows and holes that were there for maybe 100 years under the trees. And I felt God say to me, speak to my people and say this, you are hiding in a hole in the ground. And God is saying, you're inheriting the earth. You're not meant to be hiding in fear under the ground. You're meant to walk in victory. God is calling you to be an overcomer, not someone hiding in the hole in the ground. So today, God is saying, you are leaving that hole in the ground and you are never going back. Never going back. You're going to walk the land with your head held high and have faith in the one who is for you and not against you. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to build spiritual muscle memory. Let's ask God. Lift up your hands if that's you. We pray now, God, starting today, starting this week of prayer and fasting ahead, we ask you, God, that even though it hurts, even though it goes against our nature, we are going to fight that and we are going to exercise spiritually and build muscle memory. Spiritual muscle memory in our lives. So as we deny ourselves, whether it's from chocolate, from a meal, from social media, whatever, as we deny ourselves, help us to build spiritual muscle memory. That we would be strong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That we would be overcomers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That God would prosper us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And not harm us. Hallelujah. So let the muscle memory begin. As we left our seats, let it begin today. Now some of us want to slaughter fear. If that's you, would you lift up your hands? You don't want fear to haunt you or to be a shadow. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to kneel down if you can. If you can't, that's okay. Show God you mean business. Show God you're not ashamed of what anybody looking on is. Show God that you're not too proud. Show God that He is above you. I'm going to kneel as well. Here at Grace Church Cork, 53 McCurtain Street, we put on the altar that fear that can grip us, that can paralyze us, that can panic us, and we put it on the altar now. If that's you, can you shout out amen?
Amen.
And we ask you, God, slaughter the fear that's trying to slaughter us. Make us men and women of faith instead of fear. Who will say amen?
Amen.
And we pray, oh God, that as we put the fear on the altar, you slaughter it, and we would walk out of here free men and free women, overcomers. And we pray, oh God, we would never be captured by fear again in Jesus' name. Who will say amen?
Amen.
This is Layla. Layla, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Your days of being a victim have now finished. These are the days of your victory. You are becoming a victor and no longer a victim, because I have seen and I have wept with you and I have heard your prayers in the middle of the night, and I have known your anxiety. I have known the days and the nights of despair. But the Lord has said, I was with you all the time. I never forsook you. I was always there. But you were in the right place at the right time. This is the time where the victimhood ends and the victory starts. So rise up, daughter of the King. You are becoming, in the days and the years ahead, a mother in Zion. Many will look to you. Many will be astonished at what you have learned and where you have come from. And you will always say, and God is saying to you now, Layla, always acknowledge, it was the Lord who healed me. It was the Lord who delivered me. It was the Lord who lifted me up from the pit. The winter is over, Layla, and the spring is well advanced. A time of harvest is coming in your life. So prepare and look with eyes of faith at where God has placed you and what he's about to do with you. Because it was always part of your destiny to be in this far-flung corner of the vineyard. This was always part of your future. And I am meeting you here, says God. And I am delivering you. And I am healing you. And I am giving you a new name. You are from this day forward a mother in Zion. This is your future. Thus says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is saying to someone else, maybe more than one, and this is burning in my heart. You have tried your best and you have made all the right calls. But in your family tree, there is evil. And God is saying, you have come a distance from it, but there is one more battle that is about to happen. And we need to cut off the evil in your family tree so that you and whoever comes after you is set free from the shadow and the stain of the past. So I know I'm called to pray for some here today. Who knows that's their inheritance and you know this is the time to break it. If that's you, lift up your hand. Okay, we've one, we've two, we've three, four. Could I ask the other guys? Yeah, if that's you, stay here. If it's not you, you can go back to your seat. Just stay standing because I'm going to ask everyone to point out a hand. Demons will flee from this place today. We come against it. Let's be ready to do a couple of minutes of battle before we close. So if you put up your hand, try and make your way up to the top. Michael, you might come up. Don't know if Elma is still there. I know Denise and Dara are gone. Machek, Zosha, any of the guys, if you're here. Just come forward, guys. I need to know who I'm praying for. So we have, it's like a curse in the family tree. It's not that you're part of the curse, but it's a shadow that's going after you. And we're going to break it today in Jesus' name. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. You might say there's no such thing. Good luck with that. They are there. So lift up your hands if that's you. Lift them up before the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we break every hold from the family tree. We break every curse that was put against you. Jesus, show my sisters, show my brothers. Let them see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We come against all those who would cast a shadow over these lives. And we break the hold the enemy would have on you because of your past. I declare healing in your family tree. Who will say amen? Amen. I'm going to ask everyone down there, join with us. Would you just point a hand forward towards these guys? It could be you. Let's have faith for our brothers and sisters. So into your family tree, your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, uncles, aunts, great-grandparents, addiction, suicide, the occult, witchcraft, curses, mental health, physical health, emotional health that would destroy your future. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. Who say hallelujah? Your inheritance is not in your family tree. It's in the blood of Jesus. He is our family tree. So I declare release. Release healing. And let every demon of hell run from this place. Run from your life. Run from your head. Run from your emotions. And run from your future. God is for you, not against you. And we inherit that. And we claim it. One last prayer. Lift your hands up high if you're up here. We receive healing. We receive deliverance. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
We receive our future and we receive a new family tree that goes back to Abraham. Isaac, and Jacob. And we receive that inheritance now. And the Lord would say to you, sister, cast out the bondwoman. She has no place in your future. That woman who was a bondwoman in your family. We break the hold of the bondwoman. She and her son have no part of your future. So we deliver you now. And we pray blessing instead of curses in Jesus' name. And God's people said... Yeah.